This morning, as with every morning of your life, I want you to think about the great power that you have been given, that has been bestowed upon you. And what is that power? Choice. This morning, as will be tomorrow morning and the mornings to come till Jesus comes back or you get to go to heaven or whatever your destination might be at this moment, you have the choice whether or not you're going to engage what God is doing and what He is saying. It is incorrect to say, God, will you speak to me? God, can you speak to me? I believe it is much more biblical to say, God, give me understanding of what you're speaking to me. I believe one of the reasons why we abdicate that power and choose not to make that choice is we're scared of what He's saying to us. And this morning, we're going to look at the context of the body of Christ. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to pray that we would choose to allow God to speak to us on His terms, using all the faculties He's given us, including the Holy Spirit, to reveal what He is doing and saying in our lives. So what I'm asking of you for the next few brief moments is to cry out with me, God, help me. God, give me revelation. God, give me a hunger and a heart that desires you above all else. So let's join me in prayer, would you? Father, we love you, we bless you, we honor you this morning. Lord, this time will be brief. God, it sounds like an easy choice to make. Maybe it is this morning. What about this afternoon? What about tomorrow morning? Lord, we bless you because you're the only one worthy of blessing. And this week, Father, we were very blessed. The list would be long and extensive. And the truth is, Father, probably most of the things that we complained and whined and used other words that I can't say out loud in a prayer about were just first world problems. They were no big deal. And they won't be a big deal tomorrow. So Lord, help us to get the proper perspective this morning. Get us right. Get us fixed properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture this morning is Acts 4, 32 through 37. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned, and he brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. This scripture probably sounds very familiar, because a very similar scripture is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46. And I just happened to fall to me to look at it a couple of weeks ago. But there's something in the context of this scripture that needs to be pointed out to you, and that is this. In Acts chapter 2, the church was becoming established in Jerusalem, and they were enjoying the favor of people, and they were meeting in the synagogue or the temple daily, and they were breaking bread, and they were seeing the power of God. And a lot of awesome things were happening. And in this scripture, we see a lot of awesome things happening too. But one of the big differences between those two scriptures is this. In the middle of it, they had seen firsthand the persecution of following Jesus. Peter and John healed the lame man, had to go before the Sadducees and the religious people, and they had witnessed someone actually be called out for their faith and how they were going to withstand that. And yet, they continued to do that which they knew God was calling them to do. So on one side, when everything was looking all awesome and great, and like this is the greatest thing ever, there was an interruption by a difficult time. But they came out on the other side of that time, not just standing with the status quo, but expanding the kingdom of God. And so when we see this oneness this morning, let's remember something. It was in the face of growing difficult circumstances. Point number one, John. Till everyone, John, you want to take a shot at it this morning? You don't have a shot? Luke, you want to take a shot at it? Till everyone blank, no one blanks. Till everyone, it's not sleeps. Till everyone matters, no one matters. You see in 4:32, their attitude towards each other and towards material possessions. There was a oneness there, a connectiveness through the power and the Spirit of God that should resonate within the body of Christ, including this body. There should be a oneness there that says, I'm not going to put strings attached to why you matter to me. You matter because we are one in the body of Christ. There's a oneness there that these disciples, these followers of Christ early on recognized that what they had in common started with Jesus, but didn't just end with Jesus. I came across a story this week about in Chicago, they had a summer celebration at the end of the summer about no one had drowned in a pool. It was a huge pool. It was a community pool in Chicago. And they had called like 100 certified lifeguards to celebrate this, plus other people from the community. So they threw a big party about no one drowning in the pool. What do you think happened? Everybody went away. The lifeguards checked the pool. Someone had drowned while the party was going on. Somebody didn't take notice that someone was in trouble. Till everyone matters, from the least to the greatest, to the ones who look like us and act like us, to the ones who act and who don't act, who don't look like us, then I'm telling you right now, we're not fully invested even in the people that we say matter. I want you to realize that. Until you're willing to be fully invested in each and every person that God has placed in your life, then I want you to know, I'm telling you right now, you're holding something back from all of us. And that is not happening in these scriptures. This scripture is not about a bunch of perfect people coming together and saying, wow, this is just so easy. We're going to ride off into the sunset. This story didn't begin with once upon a time. This story starts with a group of imperfect people gathered together and said, we need each other more than we know we need each other in ways we don't even know yet. Because we just saw what happened to Peter and John when they were simply doing what they told us to do. Because you remember in Acts 2, 42 through 46, they said, we're dedicated to the apostles' teaching. I want you to realize, too, in this scripture when it says they sold things for one another, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden they just started selling things left and right and just throwing the money willy-nilly. Who were they listening to? The Holy Spirit. They were being divine directed. They weren't just casually, haphazardly doing something. There was an awareness of the presence of God. And I want you to think about something. When you get the opportunity to invest in somebody and you see the fruit of that investment, doesn't it bring great joy, great fulfillment? Right now, Kathy and I sponsor a little girl in West Africa in a predominantly Muslim country. And you know, one of the things is although I just send a check each month to World Vision, one of the great things that I love about World Vision is they always send me updated pictures. So as I'm praying for her, one of my prayers for a little, her name is Ramata, R-A-M-A-T-A. So that sounds good to me. Maybe it's not that, but that's the way I pronounce it. So when I'm praying for her, I'm thinking, wait a second, what if she's the catalyst that sees revival, not in that village, not in that family, but in that country? Because she matters. And I could easily just say she lives on the other side of the world, but no, not going to settle. She matters. And even the places that you go, that I go, that I don't even like going, the people there really do matter. Point number two, John. Priorities, God, people, and what? What'd you say, John? Come on, give me a shot. Oh, Lord, we just want to take a moment, repent of our sin. Our sin is growing, Lord, help us. Possessions. Oh, you've been led astray by the devil back there, John. So, they testified about Jesus. There was a testimony about a person. The realistic, life-changing, life-altering encounter with a person. Do you get that today? I mean, do you really get that? Not just lip service, not just in your mind, but life-altering with a person. They pulled together, depending on God, no matter the circumstances. The effective witnesses of the apostles showed that God had done something in them so He could do something through them. And you have to discern that at times. Because I know we live in a time and a place where there's a lot of options how to invest ourselves. The body of Christ, outside the body of Christ. But if you start with possessions, then people, then God, then you will always be kind of, I think, less than at maximum capacity. And what I mean by that is you might be doing some good things, but are you really still doing them for the glory of God, or are you doing them for the pat on the back, the attaboys? These apostles, these early believers, that God gave witness to them and through them because there was something so powerful in them that they could do something that I think is extremely important to us today. Extremely important. When we leave here and we see people, you see your own family, your co-workers, you see each other, I want you to think about something. How much, how often do you really think about their eternity? Are you investing in growing and moving in people's lives that has an impact on eternity? That is so powerful that these individuals, and again, I pointed this out in the Acts chapter 2 passage, pointed out again, except for Barnabas, there's a whole slew of people, there's no names mentioned, just everyday common people, moms and dads and students and teachers and housewives and people that work at Gulfstream, just coming together that said, you know, today I had a tough week, but I know that I need you to help me realize that I got to keep God number one because next week's still coming. And that the people I'm around are still very, very important to God. You see, when God's grace comes upon us, it empowers us to love people and not the things. It enables us to love Him no matter what. Because I know that in our culture today, first of all, I want you to think about something. Do you ever think about all the choices we have? I mean, seriously. Two nights ago, Kathy and Cameron and I, he was at home, was trying to pick out a movie on Comcast. You know what we came to the conclusion of? We just couldn't settle on anything. Think about that for a second. Do you know what days are gone? Probably haven't given this much thought. Here's what days are gone. History. And only the older group, including myself, probably going to get this analogy, and that is this. Do you remember when you had to be at home by a certain time to watch a certain show? Okay, those days are gone. Long gone. Because of choices. This is the power of God working in you to make a choice that says, God, no matter what, I want You more than anything else. God's grace at work in and through us, enabling us to really lay down the stuff and pick up the people. To pick up the people. Okay? Point number three, John. I'm not even giving you two a chance over there. All right? Oneness is powerful. Going it alone is powerless. We see a theme throughout the book, the Bible. There's scriptures over and over that talk about people going with others. You see that right at the beginning. What did God tell Adam? Look, buddy, you're going to screw this up on your own, so I'm going to give you somebody else to go with you. So right from the beginning, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. So the thing about it is if you go back to the first point about everyone matters, then even though we go our separate ways when we leave here, if you still are putting God first, then people, then possessions, I believe this, that God will just so often put other people on your heart. About 5 years ago, I had one of my youth going off to college. And this person was going off to college, and they were leaving Savannah. And I said, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't ever give lectures on what you're going to face from a physical standpoint when they go to college. I'm telling you right now, nothing can prepare you for the spiritual battle you're getting ready to walk into. So I want you to know something. I'm not going to lecture you on it. I'm just going to tell you, put the spiritual armor of God on, put your big boy pants on, and get ready. Okay? But here's what I'm going to offer you. That whenever you feel attacked, all you have to do is send me a text that says praying. Person was at college about 4 days. They were in their dorm room. They sent me a text at 2:30 in the morning and said, right now I'm really afraid. Can you be praying for me? I was awake. How many times has that happened to you all? Twice. Daniel's had it twice. Okay? I guarantee you, everybody in this room has had the opportunity to pray for multiple people over and over. And it's the power, the synergy. Oneness does not crumble under adversity. Oneness does not quit, because a togetherness was God's plan from the beginning. It was part of God's original creation, the oneness, the one Father, the one Spirit, the one Savior, the one body of Christ. You see it over and over and over. You know what I was going to use for this point, but I decided it was going to take too long to explain? Here was going to be what I was going to say for point number three. Hey, Kemosabe, there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Okay? But I knew there'd be a group of people here that would be like, what is a Kemosabe? So I was going to have Jay dress up like the Lone Ranger. But here's my point about this. You know that. You do. But how many times just this past week did you have something oppressive, feel oppressed, that you didn't ask anybody to pray for you? You didn't call, you didn't text, you didn't send an email, you didn't do anything. You lived with this lie, I'll make it just fine. You lived with that lie, I'll make it just fine. That is not of the kingdom of God. Oneness is powerful. Going it alone is powerless. One of the things I love about Barnabas showing up in this scripture is this. First of all, he showed up and just simply did. What I mean is we see him show up in this story, was probably in the body of Christ for some period of time, and said, this is something I want to be a part of, because he was a Levite. He was a religious man. Religious man. Knew all the answers to all the Sunday school questions. But at the end of the day, he went from Joseph to being Barnabas to be the son of encouragement. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the name Barnabas there in verse 36. I was reading one time in a group of people, somebody else reading, it wasn't actually me. Somebody else was reading about Barnabas, and they accidentally said the name Barabbas. But it's illogical. I mean, if you're just reading it quickly, okay, because neither one of those names do we say a lot. Okay. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Anybody know what the name Barabbas means? Son of the Father, the son of Abba. But let me ask something. When the name Barabbas is spoken, what comes to mind? Murderer, thief, should have died instead of Jesus, those kinds of things? Okay. Do you see his actions defined who he really was? So your actions, my actions, what do they say about us? What do they really say about us? Because I know that so often I find myself during the week thinking, believing, realizing that there's no way I'll ever be all I'm intended to be without others. Because the power that you have through the Holy Spirit enables me to flow more fully with the power of the Holy Spirit, however that looks like, whatever that may look like in your body today. So I want to ask you a little simple question about that. What is holding you back from these things? How are you missing it? Because these things are not really, they're as simple as acting upon the truth today. Oneness is powerful. Going it alone is powerless. John, point four. To be all in, you must be willing to give in. And here's what I mean by that, is this. To put others first, that means you have to be willing to be second. And I think sometimes we forget something. We use the word submit to God, submit to Lordship of Jesus. Sometimes, to see the other three points come to fruition in our lives, we have to be realizing that I have to submit into the body of Christ. That if I'm going to be really fully vested, that means there's at times where I have to be willing to submit. And part of submission means I have to be humble. The humility has to come, that I have to allow the power of God to change me, that my ego is not the most important thing. But maybe in part of all this is this, that as Christ has transformed me into what He desires for me to be, then it really becomes no big deal to put others first. As He has transformed me, then it's not a real struggle to say, you know, God, I'm willing to put myself in the position where others can be exalted, even if no one knows I did anything. And that sounds kind of simple at times, but it's not always as easy to execute. So today I would encourage you to think about this being all in. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, especially because we can be led astray by this thought, is we'll look for God in the grand moment. God can use us in the grand moment. That's true, but God's in the details of life too. God is in the details of life too. In fact, I believe something. It's in the obedience to the details of our life that God has given us the greatest opportunities to grow. Because if you can't read your Bible on Monday, then why are you any good of use on Tuesday? People are working. That's exactly right. And that's why we're immersing ourselves in this. That is exactly why we're immersing ourselves in this. Do you think if you could have interviewed 10 people at random, do you think they would have told stories about all that they understood or about all that they experienced? I think they would tell stories about how they experienced the presence and the power of God. And one of the coolest things, I just believe this, is this, that they understood they weren't experiencing it for themselves. And they weren't experiencing it for just the now. Why was that important? Because what was getting ready to happen to them? Boom. The atomic bomb of persecution was getting ready to come in the form of the Romans. And they were going to be sent to the uttermost. And I don't know how they processed all that. I don't know. But I do know that the DNA had been set. You see, that was a setting of DNA. That wasn't the setting of discipleship classes, or the ABCs or the how-tos. This was a setting of a lifestyle. So I would encourage you this morning, as you think about these points, what is your lifestyle? Is your lifestyle of everyone matters, God, people, possessions, putting others first, basically, that there's power in oneness, and that if I just try to do it on my own, I'll finally just run out of energy and time and strength to be all in. You must be willing to give in. Don't miss God because we're too busy worrying about things that we can't control anyway. That being all in is a willingness to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through a local body of Christ and being obedient with the little things. With the little things. This morning, we come to a time of ministry. Brother Rick's already told you about the cards. Last week, I want to thank you for everybody who took time to fill out a card last week. Praise God for that. Appreciate that. Also, this morning as we come to a time of ministry, I'm going to give you a moment to fill them out again. But this is something we've been talking a lot about in our life group, our adult life group, is this. Did you know you have some really cool stories to tell? You really do. And I don't mean from 20 years ago when God saved you from whatever was going on. I'm talking about just this past week. You probably have some God story. So I'd encourage you a couple of things today. One, it might be a really long God story because some of you can write some novels on those prayer cards. Okay? All right? I'm not going to call any name. Don't worry. All right? You know who you are. All right? But I encourage you to do something. Do you have a story you'd like to share? Let us know. Did you know you can reply to the Gmail address and tell us that story? Do you know how awesome it is to be going through a day and you're thinking, God, what difference does it make anyway? Because that's a lie we believe. And then a story pops up and you'd be like, aha, that's the difference that it makes. That's the difference that it makes. Because the Bible tells us, Paul told us, do not grow weary. Some of you are weary, and you need a good God story. So don't be afraid to share them. So you got your cards, What are your prayer requests, your praises, your thanksgivings? And what are your stories this morning? Finish with one more story from D.L. Moody. He's an evangelist from a long time ago. You probably heard of the Moody Bible Institute. He was known that whenever he preached, he got awesome results. Just whenever he spoke, people responded immensely. And someone asked him one day, D.L., how come when you preach, people seem to respond? And D.L. took him to a building, at the top of a building. He looked out and he said, you see all those people out there. He said, what do you see? The gentleman asking the question said, well, I see a bunch of people milling around. What do you see, D.L.? D.L. said, what I see is a bunch of people going to hell without Jesus. And that's the way I speak to them. That's the way I interact with them. That's the way I love them. That's the way I care about them. Because until I know that they're not headed to hell without Jesus, then that's where I see them and I respond accordingly. And there's power in that kind of attitude. So I'd encourage you this morning, Gary, you can come on up. Come on up. I'm going to take a moment to give you the opportunity to fill out those cards. So I'm just going to begin to pray for us here. Gary comes up. Give you a couple minutes and then we'll open the altar and Dusty and Audrey and Rick and Regina and Kathy and I will be up front. So let me just pray for us right now. And you just take some time to fill out those cards before we open the altar. Father, we bless you this morning. You know, God, today is a day that's full of challenges, full of opportunity, full of blessings. But Lord, I declare today you're sovereign over this day. And that God, I would pray today for each of us that you give us a new love for you. Father, I thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you for his dying on the cross for us. And I thank you that we declare the power of the resurrection. And Lord, I would ask you today to help us declare that power of the resurrection in our lives. God, I would pray today that we could inch a lot closer to looking just like Jesus than any kind of cheap knockoff imitation. That, Lord, there would be a fullness of Christ in our lives that impacts the dying and lost world. Just take a moment to fill out that card. Father, this time that we spend here together is a blessing. No, it's beyond a blessing. It's a blessing multiplied exponentially. We receive your blessings with gratitude. Lord, may we act upon them with gratitude. This altar is open now. You can choose to come pray with somebody or get somebody to pray with. You can go ahead and bring your cards and your envelopes if you would like to. That'll be fine also, but this time it's for you guys to pray with somebody if you'd like, or bring your offerings and your cards. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, I think Pastor Rick said last week, you know, we're still around to pray even after we kind of ran out here like a pile of ants kicked over my front yard. All right? So let's just pray right now and we're dismissed then. Sovereign God, you are so good to us. If we really sat down and you showed us how good, I don't think we'd be able to get up, because I believe you're that good. I believe you're that good in the middle of what man calls bad news, difficult times and difficult circumstances and things we don't like. I still believe your goodness is more than any of that will ever compare. And Lord, we're living in the now, but we're looking for the future and we're looking forward to it. So Lord, I pray today that we'll embrace what you're doing in our lives, but we would live for your glory and your honor, even in the details of life. In Jesus' name, amen.